This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, conservative icon, and the author of more than 20 books, including The Supremacist, Turbo Reader, and the revealing new book, The Flip Side of Feminism. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
We usually hear a noisy outcry on the left at any suggestion of requiring a photo ID for voting. But you may be surprised to learn that some other democracies regard them as a necessity. Just look at Mexico, where the Federal Electoral Institute issues citizens a free photo ID known as a voter credential. The system was put in place 20 years ago as a response to widespread voter fraud in Mexican elections. Rules are very strict, and no exceptions are made for those who arrive at the polls without their ID. The agency makes no apologies for this. They say the system is necessary to restore confidence in elections after years of corruption. In the United States, you need a photo ID to drive a car, to check into a hotel, or to rent a movie. But we're told we cannot require photo IDs for voting. Liberals claim that photo ID laws would decrease voter turnout and create a burden for the poor. However, neither of these things has happened in Mexico. In fact, the free IDs have been beneficial to the country's poor because they now have identification they need for other situations. That's why former Atlanta mayor and civil rights activist Andrew Young supports voter ID laws in the U.S. so that poor minorities are provided with the ID they need to fully participate in American life. Mexico's laws have also increased confidence in the fairness of elections and thus increased voter turnout. A similar increase in voter turnout happened in Indiana and Georgia when those states implemented photo ID laws. If we don't require a photo ID at our U.S. polls, that doesn't make it any easier for people to vote. It just makes it easier for people to cast a fraudulent vote.
Are you a college student eager to stand up for your conservative beliefs and stand against liberal ideologies? Do you want to build a network with other conservative students? Don't miss the annual Eagle Forum Collegian Summit, July 18 and 19 in Washington, D.C. It's free to students who register in advance. Go to eagleforum.org and click on Collegians. That's eagleforum.org. And join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the balmy suburbs of Chicago. It's a wonderful day. I've got the windows open. It's about 70. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. You may have noticed the new format. RBN recently signed a contract with Cumulus Media Network Satellite Services, which will be providing 24/7 satellite channels to RBN on XDS. This means that there are 4,000 stations out there that could easily have the capacity to pick up any RBN program. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit Spingola.com. Another site that I wish to call your attention to is SpingolaSpeaks.info. One of our listeners created this wonderful site, and I am very grateful for those efforts. During the program, email your questions or comments to comment@Spingola.com. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to Spingola.chatango.com. It's always fun when the guest also goes to that website, and then they can pick up questions and comments. We will take your calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Thomas Goodrich. He is the author of numerous books, about a dozen or more. His website is wildwestblogcom.blogspot.com. We are going to be talking today about one of his books that I bought within 3 weeks after it came out in 2010. I bought it in July. It came out in June. The name of that book is called Hellstorm, The Death of Nazi Germany, 1944 to 1947. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Deanna. How you doing?
I'm good. And you?
Just adequate. Can't crow to heavens about how great it is, but it's awfully hot down here in the Sunshine State, Florida, that is. And I was running around like a one-armed paper hanger this morning. I had lost some keys up at the beach. I took a quick morning swim on my bike ride, and I got to chatting with somebody there, somebody from Las Vegas, of all places, and my key I had left in the sand, and so I pedaled on home a mile and a half and realized, uh-oh, I can't get in the house, so I had to run around like wild and finally went back up and found it. So other than that, I think I'm down to slow speed right now. Hey, I've got to ask you a question. Are you, you're part of the Cumulus apparatus then, eh?
Yes.
Hey, I used to work for them.
Really?
Yes, I was a program director for one of their satellite stations, and I was in charge of booking roughly anywhere from 3 to 6 people per day for a three-hour guest, show host, guest format type of thing. And I got bumped, as you might expect, after getting too many radicals on there and too many eclectic guests, everything from antiwar.com folks to the Streetwalkers Union organization, ladies of the night who represented their union, crazy stuff like that, but I loved it. And I think the folks out in the audience loved me, too, for signing up so many weird and odd guests, but obviously the powers that be in Atlanta didn't appreciate it very much. So better luck with you.
Well, I think that that RPN knew what they were doing when they signed this contract, mm-hmm. and I think that the accessibility of more of 4,000 stations, affiliate stations, this could be wonderful because
yes.
more people need to hear what's going on, and I think that RBN has the host that can do that for them.
Revolution Radio is the future. We are
exactly.
the future. We're here to stay. We're not going anywhere. We're going to speak our mind. We're going to do it freely, and nobody's going to stop us, and you're living proof that that's not going to happen.
Well, I hope so. Well, I didn't have quite the morning that you had. I folded the laundry and
hey, well, I did that too.
Loaded the dishwasher, and that's about the most exciting thing. Well, I did work on my third book. I've been
oh my golly, and I'm an hour ahead of you. I've got an hour better to work with over here in Florida. So
right, but I get up early, so that kind of compensates for the loss of that hour. I noticed on Amazon, I looked up your book this morning, just a few minutes ago, on Amazon, Hellstorm, because I wanted to just look at some of the reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I note that they have your book and my book together, that the people can purchase them both for $55.32. It's amazing that they put our two books together, my second book and your Hellstorm.
Excellent. That's a right and a left 1-2 punch, I think. So, excellent.
Yeah.
And I like the modest price, too. I don't have $50 to throw around, but fortunately some folks do.
Sure. Well, the one of the things that I'm just very amazed at or just impressed by is the fact that, well, your prologue, your opening statements about this this town that was Nemersdorf.
Yes.
And it was really right there across the border within, 50 miles of the Soviet Union. And yet they were not able to attack it, to invade it, until October of 1944. And I think that we often think that somehow or a lot of people think that the Soviet Union was engaged from June of 41 with the Germans. But they were, but it wasn't in Germany. And it's also relevant, I think, to note that during World War I, this was also the case, that the Allies really didn't invade Germany, that they were pretty much untouched as far as within Germany itself. Of course, that doesn't include the Allied bombing, the British and American bombing
mm-hmm.
into Germany immediately. I mean, just immediately. But as far as Russia, they weren't able to get through the border until October of 44.
Yeah, you know, Hitler's war against the Soviet Union was never really against the Soviet people, the Russian people. The Belarus, the Ukrainians, the white Russians, people like that. It was against this pernicious Jewish Bolshevism. That's what Hitler hated. That's what I hate, too, personally. And had it not been for the United States throwing its weight into this war, Hitler would have easily overran the USSR. Easily. I say that again, easily.
Right.
It would have been no contest whatsoever. Britain would have been knocked out early. But the United States, Uncle Sucker, let's call him that, just had to get his nose in through the back door, by the way, with Pearl Harbor. And Roosevelt, the worst president in American history, got his way, and, of course, all the rest of its history. You're right. Until October, November 1944, Hitler, in spite of facing off with the entire world, basically, essentially, still the Soviet Union, this massive, enormous country with all this manpower, still... It had been a stalemate mostly, and you're right. Up until October 44, Hitler had held them at bay. But in October, November 1944, the hordes of the Soviet Union did bust in briefly into East Prussia, and that's where Nemersdorf came in. And that's when Germans finally got the first taste of what was to come. And the horrors, and I should add that there was a immediate counterattack. And the German forces recovered Nemersdorf, which was on the border of Poland and East Prussia at the time, recovered. In other words, this counterattack took back the area that the Soviets had taken. And what they saw, what they found, what they discovered was incredible. Goebbels, Dr. Goebbels, had said, you know, these are beastly people we're up against over there. I mean, he's talking about the Jewish Bolsheviks, the commissars, these bloodthirsty devils who really do want to extirpate the German nation, root and branch, babies, old people, women, everybody. And so what the Germans found was unbelievable, and it wasn't good enough to just discover it themselves and see it. I'll continue after the
All righty. We're going to a quick break. We'll be right back.
Flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
The five self-evident truths of the Declaration of Independence are the standing definition of our republican form of government. Each unalienable right has an attached duty because we are all created equal. Like the right, the duty is permanent and non-transferable. There can be no paper to lien the right and no paper to waive the duty. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed does not mean if you can think of it, you can consent to it. Truly, it names a condition where a right must be held without violation of its duty by both parties who can then consent. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan. Innovative research and development of prototype industrial equipment since 1988.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Thomas Goodrich. He is the author of numerous books. The one that we are talking about today is called Hellstorm, The Death of Nazi Germany, 1944. To 1947, came out in June of 2010. It is a must-read to understand what happened in World War II. This is a fabulous, fabulous book. Okay, Thomas.
Yes. Hey, am I coming through? I lost you.
Yes.
Where I left off was the when the Germans finally retook Demmersdorf in that area. They were so stunned that they felt like they had to invite the world in to see just what was going on here. The world had, prior to this, had been blaming everything on earth against the Germans and the Nazi regime. But now they wanted to see, hey, look what we're dealing with. And so they invited in Sweden, Switzerland, and Spain representatives from to take a look at this. And what they saw was incredible. Virtually there was no one left alive of the thousands of people that lived in this area, in this little town. Old men had been cut in half that tried to defend their women from rape. Children nailed to barn doors. Women spread-eagled after they had been raped to death on the sides of barns. The atrocities were incredible. People who had been driven over by tanks, flattened, like roadkill. Virtually no one was left alive. And that's what the Russians did as soon as they took over a piece of German territory. And, of course, we had people like Ilya Ehrenberg, probably the most influential Jewish writer, or Russian writer, Jewish whatever, in Russia at the time. He was the propaganda minister. I'm not sure exactly what his title was, but he is more responsible for what happened to Germans in Germany during and after the war than any one person on earth. He wrote these screeds, these bloodthirsty, poisonous screeds about how, when Russians got to Germany, how they were supposed to act with the Germans. And basically, this is just one. Here's a sample. It says, kill them all, the old men, children, and women, after you have amused yourselves with them. Kill. Nothing in Germany is guiltless, neither the living nor the yet unborn. Break the racial pride of the German women. Take her as your legitimate booty. Kill, you brave soldiers of the victorious Soviet Army. Kill. Now, that's just the briefest of examples of Ilya Ehrenberg and his merciless, vicious, poisonous propaganda to these unsophisticated Russian soldiers to do this. He's making it sound like it's a patriotic duty to rape and murder and slaughter. And so, given that these soldiers are already very unsophisticated peasant boys, and given that they're also brainless 18, 19, 20-year-olds, a lot of these guys obeyed Ilya Ehrenberg's words right down to the letter and did exactly as he said. And this account I read of Ilya Ehrenberg, that's just one of hundreds. He had a screed for every occasion, and they were all just so bloodthirsty, you cannot believe it. And that's, you know, without Ilya Ehrenberg, maybe I wouldn't have written this book. I'd prefer that Ilya Ehrenberg had been strangled in his cradle when he was born, and I had never needed to write this book. Probably more than any one person, he is the reason I wrote this book, a book of atrocities. It's got, as you know from reading it, Deanna, and bless your heart for buying it when it came out, it is about war, but it's also about the consequences of war. In fact, had I to do over again, I probably would have given it another name. Let's say Hellstorm. Instead of the death of Nazi Germany, I would have called it Hellstorm, the powerful price of propaganda. Words do get people killed. Words get people raped. Words destroy nations, as this book proves. The propaganda, no, I'm talking about Ilya Ehrenberg and the USSR, but the propaganda was almost as vicious on this side of the Atlantic Ocean also. Jewish screenwriters, Jewish novelists, they joined the frenzy, basically trying to dehumanize the Germans as they had done with the Japanese. And so Germans, I'm not an expert on World War II. I've read, like many people, the history of World War II. I am an expert on this book. Let's say this, that there never in our history have there, this is the greatest and darkest and best kept secret in world history, what happened to the German nation during and after the war. Never in history have so many people been murdered. Never in history have so many people been raped. And never in history have so few people known about this. That's the genesis for this book.
So you're saying that Billy Wilder didn't come in and make a film of Nemersdorf?
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's tons of material here. Nobody wants to write about that, of course, because these are the losers. And we know who won the war, the so-called good war. That's bogus BS. There was nothing good about this war at all, unless you were Jewish. And then it was a great victory, because this was a war of world Jewry versus Germany. Simple as that. I can't put it in any simpler terms. And world Jewry won.
Right.
And we're living the consequences this very day, as all of your listeners know. This seems like an uphill fight in America. A lot of this is a direct response to what happened in World War II, the Jewish victory there. Edward Snowden, this young whistleblower, who is talking about the spying apparatus in this nation, something similar to the old Soviet Union, running for his life in Russia right now. This wouldn't have happened had Germany won that war, but they didn't. I'm getting off on a rabbit trail here, but it's easy to do.
But you're right. There's a lot of things that would not have happened. Quite possibly the Israeli state would not have been installed in 1948. Probably the Cold War would not have occurred. There's a lot of things that would not have happened. And maybe had Hitler been successful in his objective, communism would have been stopped. It would have been dead and... Who knows?
You know, right now, I think the white race is probably two generations from extinction. There seems to be a concerted effort now to get rid of us, especially we white Americans right now and European Americans. And it's gaining a lot of momentum right now. Actually, this country, we're not in charge of our country anymore. And that's been ever since World War II, by the way. People despise what's on TV, yeah, because it's anti-white. And the courts, anyway, here I go down an even smaller rabbit trail, but no, I can connect the dots all the way from World War II, what's going on today, this abomination now that we live in right now called the United
certainly,
States of America.
Certainly. All the multiculturalism, and you can see it from the president's office all the way down to, you know, throughout the media. Especially with this recent case, Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin.
Yeah, you know the book, The Hellstorm. I hope a number of your listeners have read the book. I know more and more. I'm finding out people who have read it passed it on to other folks. They couldn't afford this hefty price, or at least it was a hefty price, and now it's coming down a bit. But hopefully they have read this. Hopefully they understand what's in this book. Because I believe we're looking at our future. Unless we get a grip, unless we turn this train wreck around in this nation and Europe, this is where we're headed. Right now, we still, you know, and I want to say this too, and I am getting off, but this is kind of fun, actually, just to go where my mind drifts. I'm sure a lot of your listeners have talked to families, their families and relatives and acquaintances about just exactly what we're talking about right now, and they get the dumbest response. They get people
absolutely.
Who don't... Yeah.
Thomas, we are going to a quick break. We will be right back, and we'll pick this up on the other side.
Okay.
These annoying collection calls.
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with a resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info. Or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on Earth.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a 1-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Thomas Goodrich. He is the author of numerous books, including Hellstorm, The Death of Nazi Germany, 1944 to 1947. Came out in June of 2010. Tom, you were talking about the people who are talking to family members, sending the book out to family members. Someone in the chat room said that she'd sent it out to 3 people, which is great.
Yeah, that's great. Sure, I'd like to make some money in this, but more than that, I'd like for the world to become aware of what happened and what I think will happen unless we get a grip on this thing. Once you've read the book, please pass it on to anybody who's willing to look at it. The relatives now, we've all went through this. All your listeners, and I'm sure you have, Deanna, and I know I have. When you tell this to a relative, what we know, the stuff we finally figured out in life, about who's in control of this world and why certain things happen, why the United States is in one war after another in the Middle East. We all know why. But when you mention that to a relative or an acquaintance who's totally in the dark, they look at you like you are a Martian with 3 heads. And they do not believe it because it takes some effort to believe that. It takes some thought, and they're not willing to put that up. Well, the good news is, yes, these people are out there, but they've always been out there. And they will probably always, for the rest of all time, be out there. Guess what? In 1776, during the American Revolution, there was a very small percentage of people who were like ourselves in the know. roughly 12 to 13%. I think that's the going rate right now of folks who are actually in favor of the American Revolution. And of that 12 or 13%, of course, only 3 to 4, 5, 6% were actually doing the fighting. Well, guess what? We've got bigger numbers than that right now. And better than that, we've got things like Facebook and Twitter and websites and the Internet, computers. And so we can reach people even quicker. I think we're in a much better position right now than the folks were in 1776, and they overcame. Now, the difference is, with us, time moves so quickly. I don't know if we have enough time. Eventually, we're going to win this thing. I can guarantee you that. We're going to win. Truth is on our side. The numbers are on our side. And let's go back to truth. The truth. That's the most important thing. It's on our side, but I'm not sure we have the time. You know, there's lots of rhetoric going on right now, and some of it's the most diabolical, bloodthirsty rhetoric you've ever read in your life about turning various parts of the world into glass parking lots. You've heard about that. You've read about it. We've got the ability to destroy this earth utterly, and unless we slow down a little bit, it will be. That's what I mean by I don't know if we have enough time. But anyway, there I go on. I'm coming back to the big rabbit trail, I think, here with the book. It is about war, but it's not about war, as you know. It's about the things you have never heard about in World War II. I don't even bother with the so-called good war scenario and the greatest generation.
There's no such thing as a good war. When you're killing people that you don't even know, when you're going to war because the government says that we have some enemies that we have to go and slaughter, there's nothing good about that. That's not what we were put here.
No, there's nothing good about it, and even on the, you know, it's interesting. I've talked to a lot of World War II veterans. They're dying off now, and the ones who actually saw war talk the least about that war. I had a coach in high school, and he was a braggart about World War II. He always talked about hitting the foxhole and fighting the Nazis, and some of the kids would scratch on swastikas on our wooden work tables, things like that, and he'd have these very somber talks to the entire class about how he fought for 4 years against Nazis, and he didn't want to see that on the woodwork. I can guarantee you that guy never heard an angry bullet fired at him at all. The ones who don't talk about it are the ones who saw things. I would be willing to wager that they didn't consider themselves the greatest generation, and they damn sure knew it wasn't a good war, because they had seen terrible things, and perhaps they had even done some terrible things.
Of course.
Like mow down helpless German POWs who came at them with their hands up, old men, little boys on the home guard, and they were mowed down. Just almost all of them were mowed down. There are very few prisoners taken from D-Day all the way through up until the Rhine River, when the Germans started surrendering by the hundreds of thousands. Prior to that, there were very few, quite honestly, because it was understood, it was tacitly understood that you killed them. If you didn't kill them right there on the front lines as they walked towards you, you sent them to the rear. Basically, that was the code word, send them to the rear, and the people right behind you killed them. And so if you've done enough of that, you don't come back and talk about it. But this book is more about, as you know, this is about the things that happened to Germans and Germany that don't make the history books. The Allied terror bombing. Some of your listeners have heard about Dresden, I'm sure. I wonder if they realize that this happened up and down Germany, not just to Dresden, to virtually every town in Germany. Or the sinking of refugee ships. You know, we hear all the time about the Titanic. And it's a terrible, dramatic thing that occurred with the Titanic. But the Titanic was almost nothing compared to the refugee ships that the Soviets sank, filled with German women and children trying to escape the war, sank in the Baltic Sea, the frozen Baltic Sea. 7,000 went down in one ship. 7,000 women and children died in one sinking compared to the Lusitania or the Titanic, 1,400, 1,200. And this happened to several ships, 6,000 in another ship, 5,000 in another. The murder of prisoners, Eisenhower. Maybe we could talk about something different. This really does get depressing after a while. Eisenhower, Considered one of America's greatest presidents. I was a fan of Eisenhower, just like my parents were. They voted Republican. They loved I like Ike. They loved him. And yet, I find out when I write this book that he was one of the greatest war criminals in world history.
Indeed.
Certainly one of the greatest in American history. But this gentleman, this overall commander of European forces, Allied forces in Germany, he hated the Germans with a passion. In fact, his ambition, once he got close enough to them, was to kill as many as he possibly could. Now, he wasn't going to risk his own bald head to get up there and kill them. He would let his soldiers do it, and then when the war was over, he would find ways that he could kill them after they had surrendered. Anywhere from 800,000 to 1.5 million helpless, disarmed German POWs were allowed to die of starvation, thirst, or the elements by Eisenhower. And this is the man we elected president of the United States.
I don't think we elected him as much as Bernard Baruch positioned him there. In fact, Bernard Baruch is the one that that was responsible for his meteoric rise to in the military. I mean, he was elevated above 1,100 other people that had seniority, had rank over him, and were more competent than he was. He was incompetent. He was nothing but a bureaucrat sitting at a desk. And because he had the connections, he had the worldview, the same worldview that, that Bernard Baruch had, the same worldview that Roosevelt had, they put him in that position to do exactly what he did.
In one of his letters back to Mamie, he said, "God, I hate the Germans." That sizes the man up right there, and he meant that. I've seen pictures of him, and he's one of the more evil-looking people I've ever seen. All I saw growing up, of course, was the smiling I like. I picture of this adorable gentleman, but he truly was a monster. There is no doubt in my mind that he did this to these helpless German POWs. In fact, you might think, well, the world was watching. Why didn't they step in and do something? Because Eisenhower, with a little sleight of hand, basically redesignated these Germans that fell into his hands. They weren't POWs any longer. They were, I forget the terminology, but in his mind, at least, it was good enough to allow him to kill roughly 800,000 to 1.5 million Germans.
Right.
He was something else. Patton, on the other hand, my estimation of Patton has grown. Of course, the movie came out, and one might assume that that's a nifty piece of propaganda. I'm sure in many ways it was. But the fact is, Patton's words speak for themselves, and he was quite disgusted with what was going on between Ike and some of his henchmen. And he wrote this later on. This probably spelled the end for him, but he said, "We just destroyed the best people in Europe," speaking of the Germans. And, of course, he was all for tearing right into the Soviet Union after they finished off the Germans. And probably had they let Patton do it, we wouldn't be talking about the Cold War of the next 30 years that followed after that and the trillions of dollars of money we spent and thousands of lives lost, because I'm sure the Americans would have done a cakewalk right across Russia at the time. But yeah, there's so many things that aren't being talked about in World War II history, the history that impacts us to this very day. And I'm sure, I mean, your listeners know why, I know why, you know why, because it comes right back to the perpetrators.
Absolutely. All righty, we are going to a break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
That moment of panic, sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you.
We promise, if you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few $1,000 during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Our guest today is Thomas Goodrich. He is the author of a lot of books. The one that we are talking about today is called Hellstorm, The Death of Nazi Germany, 1944 to 1947. A gentleman in the chat room wants to know if you've heard of the book Defeat in the East by Jürgen Thorwald.
Yes, I have. I used it. I think I cited it in my book. There are quite a few good books out, and that's one of the better ones right there. I believe Thorwald was, it's been a while since I wrote the book, this 20 years ago when I wrote the book, and it's only in the last three that I got it published. So I believe he was a soldier in the German army. I'm not absolutely positive. But, yeah, I got a lot of accounts like that of what it was like on the Eastern Front. It was hideous. It's nothing like I thought, nothing like I imagined. It was a claw and fang type of war to the death, of course, between diametrically opposed ideologies, communism on one side and Nazism on the other. And yet, when you boil it right, when you come right down to it, there's one passage in the book that still gets me a little choked up when I think about it. It's Christmas Eve, December 1944. on the Eastern Front. I believe they're almost in Prussia right now, Pomerania. And the lines are very similar to World War One. They're in the trenches. But on both sides of the line, independent of officers and any notes from down from up on high, the soldiers themselves just decided to stop killing each other for a few hours on Christmas Eve. Now, here is the technically atheistic Russian soldier over on one side, and then you've got the German soldiers on the other, basically just putting their guns down and stopped firing at one. No one told them to do this. They did it themselves. And then, by golly, in the middle of that no man's land, they started coming forward, the Russians from their side, the Germans from their side, very slowly, of course, creeping to the middle ground. And there they met one another, and they shook hands and even smiled at each other. And they started exchanging gifts back and forth, little trinkets, little things that they made on their own, or cigarettes. And they, of course, made sign language because they didn't understand one another. But then there were some comments by German soldiers that are so touching. And it said, "My God, we thought they were animals when we were fighting them, but when we rubbed away the mud, we realized they looked just like us." And
exactly.
That was more terrible. That was more terrible than anything they had faced prior to that, was the fact that we're killing one another. This is a civil war of brothers. Our uniforms look the same. They're filthy. They're tattered. You couldn't tell one from the other. And when you wipe away the dirt and grime and blood off our faces, we're the same people. What are we doing fighting each other? That was the unspoken question there. And again, yes, it's for Jewish dominance in the world, Jewish hegemony. And it worked. They won. They got us fighting each other. And that's, you know, there's a lot of noise made about the Muslims of the world. And I've met Muslims. I've known Muslims. I've met five Palestinians, by the way, in my lifetime, and they were all very good people, I might say. I think the Muslims are getting a lot of the bad press, just like the Germans and the Japanese did in World War II. I don't think they're quite as vicious. I think they've been backed into a corner, and they've had to become vicious like this.
Our listeners just mentioned, he said, it was George W. Bush's Jewish speechwriter, David Frum, who coined the term Axis of Evil, and talking about the very same people you're referring to.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and it seems to be ramped up more and more every day. They become less human, they become more animalistic, more savage. But, you know, we put them into such a position right now. And I want to say this, rather than just beating up the Jews about everything, I would prefer to beat up ourselves, our mothers and fathers who slept through World War II and basically fought the good war. And to this very day, people who wave the U.S. flag and say, "Go get them, let's kill even more Muslims, let's pee on their bodies," that's us. That's not the Jews. The Jews basically gave us the propaganda and told us, "Go get them, boys, go sick them." But we're doing the dirty work. And it's time we wake up. We're the ones at fault right now. The Jews are basically doing what's in their blood, in their genes. And that's basically take over the damn world. And we're doing it for them.
Right.
We're waving the flags. We're having our July the 4th parade, blah, 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 killing Muslims right and left. The Muslims of today are the Germans of yesterday. And then it will be the Asians tomorrow, the Chinese and the Japanese. And then basically that's it. Turn the lights out. The last free person, just turn the lights out on your way out.
Right.
Sorry to get ramped up like that, but it does.
No, that's all right.
PO me quite a bit. But anyway, yes.
Well, let me tell you what another listener wrote, and this is from Joe. He said, "Hitler wrote in Mein Kampf that in World War One the Germans failed in propaganda. They portrayed the British and Americans as fools and bunglers, and therefore the German soldiers were surprised and somewhat disheartened by their contact with them, whereas Allied propaganda showed that the Germans are savage monsters, and therefore no matter how bad situations got for them, Allied soldiers kept going in the belief that they were doing a great moral thing. Germany failed in World War II propaganda by telling the truth."
I couldn't have said it better, and it is. It's almost childlike, the German propaganda against the Allies. And the Japanese propaganda is no better. These people simply didn't know what they were up against. They didn't know this propaganda rolling machine that demonized and vilified and denigrated them at every turn and heaped upon them all the crimes that the Allies were committing themselves. And that's what was so startling. And this is, brings us back to Nemersdorf all the way back there. This is the propaganda that Ilya Ehrenberg had been feeding the Soviet soldiers. That's why there were babies with their heads bashed in on rocks, and women were nailed to barn doors, spread-eagled, and people were sawn in half because of this vicious, bloodthirsty propaganda. The Germans didn't have anything to compete with that. They were still fighting under the old rules, that the war was still something that could be contained and held together. And you might say, I don't know if propaganda won this war, but it made it vastly more vicious.
Right.
That's the thrust about Hellstorm. That's the thrust of this book, and the book I'm working on about Japan, is how vicious and depraved the propaganda made this war. I suppose it's the nature of the beast. When you hate that deeply, and and you have that much poison running through your bloodstream, you will do this to your enemy. You will turn them into the worst beasts on earth, and only the most savage slaughter will work. That's World War II. World War II, there's nothing good about it.
Right. Now you're working on one on Japan.
Yes, it's a slow process. But as bad as the Germans were demonized in World War II, it was nothing compared to the Japanese. Of course, the Japanese were a different race. They looked different. They were little people with slanted eyes and yellow skin. And if you look at some of the propaganda pictures at the time, you would think they all had these enormous buck teeth like monkeys. They've got them up in the trees with tails hanging upside down. And it was, if you watch a good John Wayne movie in 1930s, 40s, whatever, they're nothing but animals in these movies. And John Wayne and his friends, by the way, when I was a kid, I used to love these movies. Me and my cousin, we would watch these on Saturday afternoons. They'd see a nip up in a palm tree, and certainly a grenade thrown up there blew him to bits. They were run over by tanks and slaughtered, and I enjoyed it all. I loved it all because I bought into the propaganda even then.
Well, that's what they designed those movies to get you to do. That's what Hollywood does. They just.
I was a child, though, at the time. Unfortunately, too many adults are still buying into that sort of stuff in the Muslim world right now.
Sure.
And, they just haven't grown up. They're in arrested development, you might say. But, yeah, propaganda. What about
the Bataan Death March? Did that occur?
Yes, it did. Let me just throw this out as a teaser. The siege of Corregidor had been in progress for weeks and weeks, and there hadn't been any supplies coming into the Brits and the Americans there at Bataan, Corregidor. And they were already in an emaciated, weakened condition when the Japs took
absolutely.
Them over. So the Japs had to move them. They didn't have the ability to get them moved all in mass. And so they were marched. And, yes, lots of them died. Now, I'm not going to diminish some of the cruelty. The Japanese militaristic approach was basically, if you can't stay up, you know, you're dog-eaten. And they treated their own men terribly, I've got to say.
Tom, we're going to our top of the hour 60-second break. We will be back. Well, it won't be 60 seconds, but we will be back soon.